Moncrief on News Talk.
Our countryside is peppered with fairy forts, so many that it's unlikely that we know exactly how many of them there are. Nonetheless, Richard Mills and Joe Carrigan spent 2 years documenting as many of them as they could for their new book, Irish Fairy Forts, Portals to the Past. Joe is with us. Joe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Sean. Nice to talk to you.
Is there even a rough estimate as to how many fairy forts there are?
We can make a rough estimate. It's somewhere between 50 and 60,000, I think. But we don't know. So many of them are hidden in the countryside still, overgrown with brambles and bushes. If you see a whole lot of thorn trees round in a sort of circle, hawthorn trees, then it's a fair bet there's a fairy fort there.
And would it be your sense that they're evenly distributed around the country, or there are some parts that have more than
others? I think so. They are everywhere. They are everywhere. Obviously, if you've got a big city, like the real capital, Cork, or that place, Dublin, and, you know, Limerick, the others, they will have been hidden underneath things. Did you know there's one under Dublin Castle, for heaven's sake?
I did not, no.
No, there was. Originally, there was a fort there, a fairy fort, and then it would have got into a chieftain's fort, and then it would have got into a Norman castle, and then it would have got into an Elizabethan castle, and eventually what we know today. But they were there. They were everywhere in Ireland, everywhere.
Right, OK. So they had no luck for that, for building that particular castle.
No, they did not.
And would they tend to be fairly uniform in size?
No, they wouldn't. Some would be very big and some would be very small. It's usually the smaller ones that are associated with the fairy folk. The bigger ones might be ones, stone ones, like the Ungrianon up in Donegal or the Steig Fort down in Kerry, which are big stone circles. And they were really the holdings of chieftains, and they would have had their own castles within them. But the small ones are the ones that are the real fairy forts.
Okay.
But they're always circular. That's the big thing. They're always circular.
And does that imply they were all constructed in the same way?
Yes, it does. They were probably made simply in the first place by putting a stick in the ground and putting a sugon rope, you know, a hay rope twisted a hay and running round it. You know, like you might have done in school when you would draw circles on a board with a compass and things like that. They were all made circular because anything square or angular would have been from much later times, Roman times, and it came from there. Or anything Celtic is circular. Even our old graveyards were circular.
And the walls then of them, would they have been fairly high up, or what kind of size would we be talking about?
They would have been a size, they would have been a lot higher than you see them now, because they were protective. Remember, they were originally, these were used by farmers to keep their cattle in them and to shelter themselves at night, and then they'd build little huts inside them for sheltering from the rain. But you'd always have a shelter and the surrounding walls to keep you from the local, people from the next county coming in to raid your cattle, or from wolves coming down from the hills, because we had wolves back in the day. But generally, they were, they'd be 2 or 3 feet high or higher, and maybe a palisade on top. You know, you might stick thorn sticks in the top or plant hawthorn trees in them, because if you've ever tried to push through a hawthorn tree, you'll know that it's not very comfortable.
Yes.
It pricks you.
How old are they?
Now, there's a good thing. The archaeologists think that they're only a couple of centuries old, but in fact, they go back into almost ancient records. I've been looking at the very, very oldest documents we have, like the Dinn Shenkus, which is the lore of fairy places and the lore of how places came to have their names. And that would go back into millennia before the Christians ever came. The Christians wrote down some of our ancient traditions, but the traditions had been there, passed down by word of mouth for thousands of years before that. And back in those days, they were saying, she was not enchanted by people, but by the music from the fairy mound. Or, he was not taken away by the people, but by those who came out of the fairy fort. So back then, they knew of fairy forts. They knew that there were certain forts, these little round forts, where the good people lived, the fairy folk. I should say, by the way, Sean, when we're talking about fairies here, we are not talking about little frilly creatures with wings and wands that live in English cottages. We're talking about the good people, the other people, themselves, the gentry, our old gods, our old beliefs, our old spirits.
Yeah.
That we always believed in. Of the land, those who were looked after. You know, we're a rural country. We always have been. We trusted in our landscape and in the fertility of our cattle and of our fields and of our families. And we always believed in our gods who looked after these things, and we made offerings to them to hope that they would look after us. It's when Christianity came with this idea of one God who lived in a cloud and they had nothing whatever to do with the fertility of the land, that things changed. But it isn't what we really believe still. Underneath, you'll find us still totally pagan. They tried to change some of the old gods into saints instead, but it didn't work. Like Bridget, you know, Bridget the goddess, who was a tough woman. And then they tried to make her into Saint Bridget, who plucked at the cloak of older saints, male saints, and begged for favours. Whereas the real Bridget, the real goddess, would have gone out there with a spear in her hand and smacked them across the face if they'd annoyed her.
But the construction of them, were they constructed and then the good people decided to live in them, or did the good, in some instances, the good people make them themselves?
It's a good question, that. And I think it's to do with the ancient belief that they were here before ever the Celts came to Ireland, and that they lived here on the land. They may have lived in forts like that, circular, because they would have been circular. And then when the Celts came, they fought with the Tuatha Dé Danann. And the Tuatha Dé Danann were the protectors of Ireland. They protected our landscape in a way that people haven't ever done since. And they wanted to care for it. They didn't want to destroy it by battle. So when the Celts fought them, they could see that it was going to turn Ireland into a wasteland of battle. And they didn't want that. So they said, let's split it in half. We'll take half of Ireland and care for it, and you can have the other half. Will that satisfy you? And the Celts said, OK, yeah, I do. And then the Celts cheated them. They fixed a quick one on them, and they said, all right, your half is under the ground, and our half is above the ground. It was a nasty diplomatic sort of one.
Yeah.
A trick that makes you think of some of the modern countries today fighting over land and where they have things. So the two they done, and rather than fight them again and ruin the land and lay it waste forevermore, they said, all right, we will go beneath the land. We will go beneath the forts. We will go into our places under the hills. And there we will live, and we will come forth every now and again to make sure this land is being looked after. And I think it was then that people began to realise and to believe that in the fairy fort you had the entrance to the other world.
And that's why to this day people are reluctant to mess with the fairy fort. When the two of ye were going around photographing them and locating them, did you run into any bad luck yourselves?
We did indeed. There were several occasions when Richard was going round taking pictures of the outside of them, and his camera batteries went dead, completely dead. Now, he's a professional photographer, he has been for years, and he doesn't let his batteries go dead. So he took out the battery, muttering to himself, put in a new one, that was dead also. This happened on three different occasions. And on one famous occasion, we were both out there, and the batteries went dead. We went back to the car, thinking to recharge them, and the car wouldn't start. It just wouldn't start. Now, we're both used to fixing cars that go wrong, but nothing. We couldn't find what. We tried everything. Then we ran the AA, and since we were out in a remote corner of the country, they said it'd take about 3 hours to get there. In the meantime, these farmers came by on tractors saying, can we help? They always do out there. They're nice. And each time we said what had happened, they said, well, what do you expect when you're interfering with a fairy port? Every one of them said exactly the same thing. And so did the AA man when he came. He said, well, what do you... It's still there in all of them. And eventually he couldn't do anything until it was after 6 o'clock and the sun was setting, and suddenly the car started again.
That's so strange.
Sorry, all right, we don't, we're not going to interfere with you anymore. We're okay, we're going away.
Yeah.
Oh, and every time you stop a postman and he says, listen, there were these two fellows beyond there and they were told not to remove the ferry fort, and they did. And didn't they go into river in the car, and the both of them drowned only a week later?
Oh, God.
You hear all these stories like that. You hear all of them. There's so much bad luck. You hear one and people say coincidence. You hear two and they say, well, that's unusual. When you hear hundreds of stories like that, you begin to think maybe we shouldn't be interfering with the fairy fort, or at least treating them with respect. You know, it's not such a daft idea to bow your head to them in respect when you pass. People do it to the Christian church. Why not do it to them? You wouldn't go barging into someone's stately home, would you, and sit down at the table and expect dinner? Well, you wouldn't do it to a fairy fort either. You treat them with courtesy, as befits our ancient spirits.
Indeed. Joe, thanks so much for speaking with us today. Joe Kerrigan and Richard Mills are authors of Irish Fairy Forts, Portals to the Past. Joe, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Texter says there is a beauty by the River Burne in Carlow. Someone else says, no, because Joe was saying there was one underneath Dublin Castle. I don't know if we can consider the lads who built Dublin Castle to have been unlucky. Sure, didn't they lord it over us for another century or two after that? Well, that's, I suppose, is a fair point. But eventually, the bad luck caught up with them. Fairy forts, the greatest protector of our national monuments. People were afraid to touch them. Better than any legal protected status, says Martin. That's true. And as you see, it happens to this day. People are just a little bit reluctant. Another text that says, Blind Boy quotes an academic who says that fairy forts are actually ring forts that accommodated people and, importantly, cattle. Cattle can sometimes produce anthrax. This kills them and the people who live with them. That's why ring forts were abandoned as habitats. And the reason folklore advises not to disturb them is the dormant anthrax in the soil. That is so interesting. Now, I mean, I think that, you know, Joe says a lot of them were built for exactly that purpose. I've never heard the anthrax aspect of it before. I didn't know that cattle can sometimes produce anthrax. Opposite my home in two fields, there are two fairy forts. Both areas in those fields are never touched. And there's a mound on one of them. The farmers have not removed them, says Laura. Yeah, I could well believe that. Another texter says that the first Irish settlers were black with blue eyes. So they were. The DNA in ancient bones proves it. So it does. That makes it far more convincing saying so it does. But I think you're right that certainly DNA analysis that they've done, and this would be the people who predated the Celts, the people who first arrived here. As far as I understand it, the theory is that actually they came from northern Spain. We're probably genetically very closely related to people from Barcelona, even though we mightn't necessarily look like them anymore. And someone says, I know this has nothing to do with fairy forts, but why are there so many dandelion seeds around this year? They're falling and accumulating like snow these days. I fear that the dandelions are staging a hostile takeover. Well, I don't know if you've seen The Last of Us. I'd start stocking up on the tin foods.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.